This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Over a long career, former CBS anchor Walter Cronkite has been at the center of some of broadcasting's most memorable moments. He's recalled many of those for us on this program. What Walter Cronkite might just as soon forget are some of the less distinguished things he's done. One of them, 4 decades ago, stands as one of television's most memorably vulgar special programs. It was a 90-minute food fight that producer Mike Todd and his wife, Elizabeth Taylor, threw 46 years ago for 18,000 of their close friends in Madison Square Garden.
If the United States were a smaller country, we might take our failures more to heart. Fortunately, we seem able to absorb them and move on, even when they appear to come all at once. Consider October 1957. Within 2 weeks, America was obliged to face Russia's Sputnik, Ford's Edsel, and Mike Todd's party. It was the last one that hit me hardest because I was part of it.
From New York, Hollywood, and all around the world.
For 5 years, that music introduced the finest live dramatic program on the air. Perhaps some of you remember.
Playhouse 90.
CBS liked to call itself the Tiffany Network then, and Playhouse 90 was the crown jewel in that title. It was the work of the CBS Entertainment Division, which in those days occasionally breached the shallow wall between entertainment and news to recruit a bit of journalistic authority from the news side. That was where I worked, of course. But I was sometimes dismayed that our authority on the air was not matched by a comparable power to resist the pressure to be amusing. Many of us in news were drafted to do our bit for the greater good of the network, but few of those occasions ever entrapped the credibility of CBS News in such a fraudulent dud as the one that unfolded that month in New York's Madison Square Garden.
Presenting tonight, Around the World in 90 Minutes, with Elizabeth Taylor, Mike Todd, and their guests at Madison Square Garden.
In those days, Mike Todd was a showman and producer of the old school who knew all the tricks. When he opened a show, he would tell the box office to sell tickets slowly so the line would be longer. He believed that nothing was the best unless it was also the biggest. In 1957, they didn't come any bigger than Mike Todd. He had recently married Hollywood's biggest movie star, Elizabeth Taylor. The hit movie Around the World in 80 Days had just won the Oscar as the best picture of the year. On this night, he took over the world's most famous arena to celebrate all that was his. The biggest party, the biggest people, the best of everything.
Good evening. This is Walter Cronkite here in Madison Square Garden with our CBS television cameras to cover this party. Part of the 400 members of the various news media here, writers and photographers, and we with our television cameras. It promises to be a newsworthy event, all right. 18,000 invited guests, a few chums, as Mike Todd and Elizabeth Taylor call them.
If Todd's party promised to be newsworthy, CBS should have sued for breach of promise. Todd was an amiable self-promoter whose charm was as oversized as it was irresistible. For weeks, he had boasted to any reporter who would listen about the stars and celebrities who would attend. A blatant publicity stunt to sell his movie began to assume the illusion of an event. It fooled CBS Entertainment executives, who were susceptible to illusions anyway. Totally beguiled by the ballyhoo, they decided to televise it as a Playhouse 90 special. Logic, of course, would dictate that Todd should pay for his 90 minutes of advertising, but neither logic nor CBS was served. The genius of Todd's audacity convinced CBS that it should pay him, and it did, a reported $300,000. For reasons unknown to me, the network decided to present it as a news event. They asked the news division for an anchor, and I was promptly shanghaied. It was all produced by a Todd crony, who was more concerned with lining up free food, champagne, and door prizes than arranging entertainment. This became clear as I looked into what I would be covering. It was an essay on empty extravagance. Music by the Symphony of the Air.
Conducted by the famed Boston Pops conductor Arthur Fiedler. Master of Ceremonies, a toastmaster to all America, Toastmaster General of the United States, George Jessel. An axe, pageantry, oh, a whole list of them. If we get to half of them on this almost totally unrehearsed party program, I'd be very much surprised. But an even half in 90 minutes, it ought to make Mike Dodd a more sensational party giver than Caesar or, well...
It's unlikely that Caesar would have appreciated my comparison. Todd had promised a parade of 100 elephants. When that proved impractical, he settled for a loop of 12, each quickly re-costumed backstage to re-emerge as another elephant. Some of the guests, who had checked their dignity at the door, agreed to ride them. The distinguished actor, Sir Cedric Hardwick, almost slid off his.
Sir Cedric is losing his grip. Whoops. He has a couple of helpers standing by.
We might have treated it all with irony or exposed its illusions. But as it turned out, sheer excess rendered both the irony and the illusion too obvious to dwell on. If any viewer believed there were 100 elephants, we decided let them believe it.
The rafters and the tiers festooned with bunting and balloons, well, even the ceilings decorated here. They didn't do that for the Democratic Party or Jack Dempsey or even Liberace. They played the garden too, you know. That cake. Look at the cake. A giant birthday cake. The world's biggest, naturally. 30 feet wide, 14 feet high. Said to cost $13,000 to design and build. Mrs. Mike Dodd, Elizabeth Taylor, is scheduled to cut that later on and pass out a few pieces to the guests. All of them will get a piece from some hands. And an Oscar in 22,000 copper-colored chrysanthemums. The world's largest Oscar, of course. That's 20 feet tall. A 7-foot pedestal is made up of various flowers flown in here from all around the world just today. Part of them, international theme of this party.
With no rehearsal, the camera wandered aimlessly in search of familiar faces, which by then were wise enough to hide. Finally, my colleague Bill Leonard located Elizabeth Taylor.
Liz, do you think this party will ever be topped?
Well, I don't know, but we're hoping that all of the
yards
watching
you
now.
Hey, Bill.
Have you seen...
Bill, excuse me a minute. We're taking a look at this pony fire engine brought in from San Francisco with their own coach dog who's running across the middle of the floor to get back to his small ponies. They're not much larger than he is. Okay, Bill, take it away again.
All right. Was this party carefully planned under your supervision, Liz Taylor?
The world would never know. The audio was so poor we could barely understand her reply. I should say a word about the menu. There were 4,000 pizza pies, 36,000 donuts, beer, sandwiches.
1,000 pounds of baked ham have been carved up for this party. 25,000 hot dogs. 800 pounds of shrimp and lobster tails. And a few little staples, of course, for a party like this. Any well-set table has them. Smoked octopus, for instance. Chocolate-covered grasshoppers. Fried silkworms. That's what the man says. It's all on the menu here.
Waiters were quick to recognize an opportunity when they saw one. Champagne that was not hijacked outright was sold to the guests at $10 a bottle. Drivers began throwing candies, then hot dogs, into the crowd from jeeps. Things got out of hand when the crowd started throwing them back. Pizzas became pizza pies in the face. Women whose gowns were decorated with blotches of ketchup headed for the exits, skidding on spilled ice cream along the way. Finally, at 11 p.m., and not a moment too soon, I made my exit as well. This has been the Mike Todd and Elizabeth Taylor Party
in Madison Square Garden. I hope that all of you across the country will agree with us that it was certainly a fabulous one. Directly from the garden with our CBS television cameras. This is Walter Cronkite reporting from Madison Square Garden. Good night.
The next morning, the press took its vengeance on Todd for all the hype he had charmed them into printing. although they had no one to blame but themselves. As for CBS, the Tiffany Network was now ridiculed as the Woolworth Network. For the most part, I was treated with the benevolence of an innocent bystander, although in describing my role, most columnists put the phrase anchorman in quotes. 2 days later, I began salvaging my reputation by hosting a special on no less than Winston Churchill. It was the first program in what became the long-running series, The 20th Century. As for Todd, by the end of the month, he and his wife were off on a trip around the world to promote his movie. When interviewers asked about the party, he had a simple answer.
Are you happy you gave this party?
What party are you talking about?
The party at Sally Needleman's house on West 73rd Street.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it. I'll tell you what happened. We decided to have a party, so I taught me a lesson. I'll never have a party for 18,000 people, never more than 17,500 people. 18,000 gets unwieldy. Uh-huh. That's all.
Sadly, less than 6 months later, he was dead at 50.
Todd's death shocked the entire Hollywood area. His beautiful wife, Elizabeth Taylor, was put under sedation by her physician, as was Mike Todd Jr. The investigation of the crash will continue tomorrow, but a verdict on the cause of it may not be available for 2 or 3 weeks. Todd was a flamboyant personality who traveled the rags-to-riches trail more than once. He was en route to New York City to receive the Friars Showmanship Award when the plane crashed just beyond this creek, the plane that Todd had named after his beautiful wife. The name of the plane was the Liz.
Almost 50 years later, Todd's name remains more firmly attached to Around the World in 80 Days than even its author, Jules Verne. That and his generosity are worthy things to be remembered by. But on that chaotic night in 1957, Todd's generosity spawned something that we all failed to notice in the bedlam, something now called event marketing and the institution of the infomercial. Evidently, no good deed goes unpunished. For NPR News, this is Walter Cronkite.